From Johannesburg to Jerusalem, the world is always changing, growing and innovating. Join Benji Shulman for the next hour as he brings you the trendsetters, the thought leaders and those creating news before it happens. Only on the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish culture and current affairs show. Every Monday at 9 a.m. right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the Load Shedding Stage 6 edition of the program on this Monday morning and the one just before Rosh Hashanah. So, Shana Tova, and I hope that you are getting ready for a fantastic new year. And I'm excited to bring you a fantastic show, I hope, on the program today. As always, at 20 to 10, we are going to be talking to Rob Hutchinson from Dear South Africa and finding out about what is going on in Parliament and figuring out how you can participate so that you can have your voice heard in the way that our country is governed. And perhaps, you know, Rob even has something to do to help us with electricity. You never know. Although I see that he's wanting to talk about water use charges. So if you thought that you were paying too much for electricity, wait for the water issue. But before that, I have an important question for you. Do you find cryptocurrencies a little bit cryptic? Do you not know your Ethereum from your elbow? Perhaps you think that DeFi is a kind of oven. Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, then you're definitely going to want to listen up for our first guest on the show for today, because we are going to be talking about the basics of the blockchain and everything to do with that and smart contracts and really everything in between. We're going to be getting into this technology of blockchains, of cryptocurrencies. What actually is it all about? Really understanding in depth the background of this particular issue, because you hear about it all over the place and it gets commented upon and focused upon, and sometimes no one really knows what in the world is going on. So we are going to be talking to Michael Pearl. He is the COO of Kirobo, and they are a blockchain and smart contract specialist firm based in Israel. So we're going to be bringing it to you straight from the heart of the innovation hub that is Israel and the startup nation. And so that should be super interesting. And we will be answering all your questions that you have to do with blockchain and with anything to do with cryptocurrency. So it's going to be really, really exciting. And if you want to be part of the discussion, 061-895-1019, that is the Telegram number. Or if you want to get hold of us on SMS, 34519 is the SMS line. So if you have anything that is crypto-related, you will be able to ask us and get an insight from an expert, which is what we like to do on the show. I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, and I'm happy to say we have on the line Michael Pearl. He is CEO of Kirobo, and he joins us all the way from Israel. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us on the New Blue Review.
Hi, Benji. Thank you for having me.
Really, really great to have you on. Now, Michael, people might not think that they're clever enough to own a smart contract. So we wanted to bring you onto this show to just really give us the basics of what this whole world of blockchain means. So let's start with the basics. What is this blockchain technology and what is it actually doing that's different from other technologies we've had in the past?
So blockchain technology is a super innovative technology. It's not just another small application that allows you to do this and that. It's actually a whole new framework of how people can interact on the internet and how people can store and move value on the internet and move information. I don't think that we have enough time to go into the depths of it, but let's put it this way. I think the best way to understand blockchain technology is basically to understand that it brings real world things into the internet. So for instance, the reason why you couldn't have digital money so far is because you needed to have a ledger, right? Because your money in your bank account, for instance, it's essentially stored on a ledger. There's a table somewhere that you know, Benji has an account at, and you have, let's say, $100, and once you transfer it to me, somebody, you know, in theory, deletes this $100 and writes them in on my ledger, right, in my cell in the ledger. So that's what we had so far, and that's why we needed all the systems to be centralized, because if I give you a $100 bill, it's actually in your hands, right? And virtually, you cannot do that. Now, the blockchain brought basically a new reality where once I send something to you, it's something that everyone sees that has been transferred to you. And it's a real transfer of value between me and you. Same thing with information, same thing with storing this information. Basically, the decentralization of the blockchain brings real world into the internet and into the virtual space.
So in other words, you're talking about really cutting out the middleman, right? A lot of the institutions that you're talking about are basically banks or insurance firms or places where people are storing information so that it can be transferred. And essentially what you're saying is that what the blockchain does is, by making it available for everyone to see, it negates the need for these big institutions who do this transfer for work. Is that a correct summation?
Yeah, the transparency is one thing, but I think that the most important thing is the decentralization. Because in essence, once you don't have one single ledger, one single entity that is holding all the information, or that is, you know, taking notes of the money that is stored here and there, and this is something that is visible and something that is known for everyone, it makes it impossible, basically, to trick it, and it makes it impossible for me, for instance, to freeze your funds, right? Because there is no central entity. Your bank can now, for instance, deny withdrawals, right? It's very something that can actually happen in the reality of the high inflation and in case of a run on bank, right? Mm-hmm. But you cannot do this on the blockchain because it's essentially decentralized.
So you were going to give me some examples of where the application of this technology, obviously everyone, well, not everyone, but cryptocurrencies are kind of the most famous example, but this is something that has applications all over the place, right?
Yeah. So first of all, blockchain is just important to stress. Blockchain is much, much beyond you know, the mere use of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the coins. Blockchain is now being used in supply chain, for instance, because again, if you want to make sure that you know, goods are being sent from South Africa to Israel, and you may want to make sure that you know, your container actually arrived, that is something that you can do on the blockchain. It is being used for even voting, for instance, voting processes, if you want to verify that, you know, the right person has voted and nobody votes twice. But to give you like a more famous example would be NFTs, right? NFTs, it's the buzzword, at least it was until a few months ago. But, you know, NFTs go far beyond, you know, Bored Apes, you know, pictures with apes that you pay $1 million for. In the very near future, I can say that NFTs are going to be your driver's license, your passport, you know, birth certificates, and so on. It's basically a way of showing something that is unique, okay? Something that is written on your name, something that the government can issue, or let's say a university can issue. And it's a major change in everything that we know. No more papers, no more, you know, plastic cards. Everything will be stored on your wallet that will contain all your important documents and your identity, and it will be in your hands. Nobody can take it from you.
Absolutely fascinating discussion. See where we're going now. So when we talk about this decentralization process that you've been mentioning, that's really the other buzzword that we have around this, which is DeFi, which is the area that you work in, which is this decentralized. This is a finance application, but you're talking about it more centrally. The other big thing is this idea of Web3. So can you take us through that? What is this introduction of blockchain technology to our lives mean for how we use the internet?
So very simply put, what is Web3, right? If you say three, then there's definitely a two and a one, right?
Right.
So Web1, for those of us who are old enough to remember, was basically you're interacting with the internet in a one-sided way, meaning that you're receiving information and that's it. Okay, that's basically the beginning of the internet. Then we started to interact with the internet where we had the ability to send information and not only receive it. And obviously the most extreme way that we do it right now is with social media, where it's just a cycle where we interact on a second basis, right? But Web3 is about ownership of information and about where the information is stored. So there's a huge debate going on now with the big tech companies about, let's say, my content. If I, you know, have 100,000 followers on Facebook and I write, you know, compelling articles, then who owns this content and who can prohibit me from writing certain things and things of that sort. Now, Web3 basically brings decentralization, meaning that, for instance, let's take the social media as an example, okay? If you have a decentralized social media, then nobody can ban you. Nobody can basically delete something that you say. Nobody can change your post or delete your profile. And same goes for your money. Okay, nobody can, as I said, nobody can freeze your assets or decide that you know, you cannot interact with a certain person just because the government doesn't want you to.
Right, so it actually opens up an enormous amount of autonomy for the way, even more so than I guess how the internet started. I guess this does bring to the fore a lot of risk, though, because on the one hand, you have people like entrepreneurs or innovators who can use this technology to do amazing things and get out the way of, say, a dictatorial government or something like that. But on the other hand, it can be used by criminals who are trying to evade law enforcement and this or people promoting hate speech or something like that.
Yeah. So, Benji, I have a secret for you because it's only me and you listening. Take the banking system, for instance. Mm-hmm. It's also used by criminals. I don't know if any of you seen that series Dirty Money on Netflix, mm-hmm. but there's an interesting story about a certain large bank, huge bank, that was basically used as a funnel for money laundering. For the Mexican cartels. So banks are also used and other financial institutions are also used in a bad way. The internet is used in a bad way. Cell phones are used by Al-Qaeda. And the idea is not to prohibit the technology, is to find ways how to root out the bad elements and to leave the playing field open for all the rest, which are 99% of the users.
Absolutely. And we're going to be getting into that discussion in a bit as well. We're talking today to Michael Pearl, who is the COO of Kirobo Technology. And we're talking about the internet and DeFi and blockchain and all of these interesting technologies that are changing the way that we do business and own our own information. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. We're talking to Michael Pearl from Kirobo today, talking about the blockchain and about smart technologies. Now, Michael, the question I have for you is a key issue which you guys work on as your company is this issue of the smart contract, right? This is the technology that allows the blockchain to work by connecting the two parties and creating a set of rules to allow these transactions to take place. So when we're talking about safety and we're talking about those elements which we started to address before the break, it really the smart contract is a crucial element if you're trying to make sure that this transaction takes place in an effective manner.
Yeah, so I think it's before we dive in, I think it's a good idea to first explain what smart contracts are. So smart contracts, very simply put, are basically algorithms, okay? Just like any application or any software or any website, those are algorithms that are planned to do something in case something happens, okay? just like any interaction that you have with the computer right now. But what's special about it is that those algorithms, once they are being deployed, once they are basically created, they cannot be changed. And that's what's so special about it. So for instance, if me and you agree that every month I'm going to send you a certain amount of money, then I cannot withdraw from that. I cannot, you know, have a developer changing or tricking the system all of a sudden. And that's basically why they are smart contracts, because the computer executes them, and they're not dependent on the person that will basically trick them. So smart contracts are basically the basis of DeFi, of how DeFi works. All the systems are built on that. And smart contracts, just as we spoke about the blockchain in general, they can be good or bad, right? I mean, they can be built in a way that people can use them in a bad way. They can be hacked, okay, which is something that also needs to be known. And that's why we hear every once in a while all those stories about 600 million being stolen from smart contracts and people losing their money. But I think it's important to stress that the technology is at a very nascent stage, right? We spoke about Web 1, Web 2, Web 3. So if we take the equivalent of the internet, we're now in 1995 and, you know, email is just starting and your grandma says, who needs the internet? So that's where we are right now. So there's a lot of work to be done. We're doing that work, and there are a lot of innovative companies that are working on finding solutions, optimizing the system, making it safer, making it more accessible. I'm sure that your kids and my kids will use the blockchain and won't even think about, you know, all those problems that we have right now in terms of security, in terms of lack of access and so on.
Because
so
that's
going to change very quick.
That seems to be a crucial point, because on the one hand, blockchain itself as a technology is very safe because of how you explained that there's no middle person and people can see it. But it seems to me that the smart contract is where some of the gap in the technology can be, where people can steal it. What other things are holding back the adoption of sort of more decentralized finance around the world besides the security issue?
I think that, first of all, the blockchain and DeFi, decentralized finance in specific, is very complex. Okay, that's not something that you can do easily. Okay, you need to, first of all, have time. You need to track, the different tokens. You need to understand the different protocols. Protocols are basically the applications, the companies that are facilitating the different activities that you can do. You need to understand a lot of technical terms. So it's not for everyone. It's mostly for very young people who are quick learners and who have some free time and can actually dive in into all that and, you know, go to blogs and go to Discord channels and read and be very innovative and bold about it. So that will also change, okay, because things are, as years go by and even as months go by, everything goes to simplification, to be more accessible, more streamlined. And I think that this hurdle will be removed very soon. Another problem is, obviously, as we see now during the last few months, it's a very volatile market, right? Everything is crazy right now in the equities market and with the currencies. I'm sure that you guys feel that in South Africa as well. But it's nothing compared to crypto, right? All the tokens are basically lost tens of percent from its value. So it's also something that, in order to trust an asset, you need to make sure that it's not that speculative and not that volatile. But again, I think that is also something that will improve as time passes by.
We're talking about blockchain on 101.9 Chai FM. If you want to speak, to ask any questions to Michael Pearl, 0618951019, that is our Telegram line, or you can SMS us on 34519. Now, Michael, we know Israel as the startup nation, the place where all sorts of things happen. Is that applicable to this type of technology as well? Is Israel very much focused and working on these sorts of technologies?
Yes, certainly. Israel is leading in many different high-tech industries. Blockchain is not to be excluded as well. obviously there are some things that we're more focused on, and there are companies that are more kind of strong on that part. For instance, security, right? Obviously, Israel is a big leader in cybersecurity, and that's something that spills into the blockchain industry as well. Also, issues that have to do with AI technology and things of that sort. But I think that, you know, Israel has a unique combination of, first of all, very innovative and very bold and daring people, you know, people who are creative, who are not afraid to make mistakes. And that's a very good thing for an entrepreneur to have. We're very cautious. We think outside of the box. And also, you know, with the military and certain academic institutions, we have a very good preparation for the real world. But having said that, there's a caveat that I have to say about Israel. The problem is that most of the things that we produce are aimed for the global audience and not for Israel per se. Mm-hmm. Because Israel has a very, very stringent regulation, in my opinion, too stringent. It's super protective with regards to its citizens. Obviously, we all understand that, you know, speculative and risky elements need to be supervised. But even with the more, you know, with the more common things, Israeli scrutiny is very, very tough. And that's why a lot of entrepreneurs build their companies from the get-go to address the global audience and not the Israeli one.
That's very, very interesting, and something which I'm sure that they'll have to deal with at some point. So what is your part of this whole conversation? Because it's interesting for me. I see that Kirobo has gotten support from the Israeli Innovation Authority, which is a key part of helping young companies that are sort of looking, as you say, to get into the market in a big way. So that's always an interesting signal when the Innovation Authority is starting to work with companies that there's something here that's a bit different, that is not been seen yet, and sort of can have a structure to work with. So tell us what you're doing and where you are in your innovation journey as Kirobo.
Kirobo is basically allowing people to build on the blockchain in a much easier way. One of the problems that I actually neglected to mention when you asked me about, you know, what's keeping people from adopting this technology in a more extended way is the fact that to build something on the blockchain is very hard. You know, Benji, if you have an idea right now and you want to build a website, you can do it with $1,000. And in many cases, you don't even need a developer to do that. Whereas blockchain technology, you need to have a very specific skill set for developers, and you need to have a lot of money because some of those things cost a lot of money. There are things like audits and deployment. I'm not going to go into that, but essentially to create something on the blockchain right now is very costly, and it requires a lot of expertise. And we have basically found a technology that is able to allow, I wouldn't say everyone, but people who are not necessarily developers, but people who have good ideas to build on the blockchain. And we believe that once the system is going to be live, and we're very close to that, it will open up this new world of possibilities, and there will be a bevy of new ideas that will be fulfilled. And I think that we have a very important role in opening up the blockchain technology to everyone. So that's our goal.
So to be very kind of reductionist, and I apologize, but it's like you guys want to be the sort of WordPress for the blockchain environment.
Exactly. You nailed it, right? Because back in the days, you had to have a developer that would build you a website, mm-hmm. and every small change you had, you know, to get another developer to change something, to optimize something, and then WordPress came along and basically opened up the gates. And then we had companies like Wix, another Israeli company, by the way, that made it even more simple. Obviously, it doesn't give you all the opportunities and all the, you know, the range of capabilities, mm-hmm. but it's good enough for, let's say, 70% of the use cases. And that's what we're trying to do. And the technology is already there. As you said, the Israeli Innovation Authority has gave us three grants already. We have just received the third one. And the technology is in essence ready, and we're going to launch it in the course of the next 3 months. And there's a lot to expect.
So is that where you are on your process? Because, of course, Israeli companies, you do a lot of fundraising and driving before stuff gets to launch. So you've sort of got a prototype of the product, and you're sort of starting to go to market. Is that the correct way of looking at it?
Yeah, exactly. We have already fundraised, and we are now at the last steps of finishing the prototype, so to speak. And now we're launching it, and we're opening it for the reviews and the audits of the different users. We already have a long waiting list of people that want to try out the system, both retail and companies. And the idea is to launch the product in the beginning of next year, the actual product, the MVP, in the beginning of next year, and to open it to the public.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. If people want to see more about the work that you're doing, and perhaps we have listeners that are interested in the company or interested in the technology, where can they find out more information?
So you can go to our website, to kirobo.io. You can look us up on Twitter, on Discord. We have an internal video team, so we have a lot of funny and innovative videos, as well as some educational ones. So you can go to our YouTube page, and you can also look us up on LinkedIn. Every channel goes.
Absolutely. Well, it's absolutely been fascinating discussing this topic with you, Michael. Thank you for bringing a very complex topic down to us mere mortals level to understand, and just explaining to us. And good luck with your blockchain journey. And we hope that we can speak to you again once the product is launched.
Thank you so much for having me, Benji. Thank you.
Michael Pearl there. He is COO of Kirobo, talking to us today about the issue of blockchain technology and smart contracts.